For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Washington offers a block. The blitz comes from the other side. Jaquel Jackson.
And now again, Jaquel Jackson.
You're listening to Believe in Colts with co-hosts Lawrence Owen and Jaquel Jackson, bringing you the latest and greatest about the Shoe.
Brady, middle, intercepted by Jaquel Jackson.
Play fake. Ryan.
Intercepted. Picked off at the five. Touchdown to Jaquel Jackson.
What's going on, Colts Nation? I'm Lawrence Owen. With me, as usual, is Jaquel Jackson. And we apologize. We took a one-week hiatus. Kind of needed it a little bit. After the way the season ended. But, hey, we had a great weekend of football. We're going to get into the playoff games that we just saw and our takes of that. But before we get into that, I just want to go ahead and get it out of the way. You know what? I know I got a lot of friends that love betting on games, and some people have made a lot of money off of that. And if you are into betting, go check out Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you all a happy betting new year as they continue to march into the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for this upcoming year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline. Where the game starts. Speaking of where the game starts, we had four of them this past weekend. Four. And that first one, did that take you as surprised as the rest of us out here watching the Titans? Just,
oh, man.
Man, their front seven was vicious in that game. And yet Joe Burrow was just able. It makes you appreciate Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and in my opinion, AJ Brown had a game and a half there too as well.
Yes. Now, all the stars that were supposed to make plays during this game, they showed up, right? That was the common theme with this first game against with the Titans. But I think the Titans just, they lost that momentum. I thought getting Derrick Henry back, obviously we knew he wasn't going to be his old self. But in my mind, I'm thinking number one seed, home field advantage, get through this game, Ryan Tannehill, show up, make some rhythm throws, get your timing down. And it seemed like he could never get into rhythm offensively. And again, you mentioned, you know, he had some receivers that have big games, but for some reason, the defense showed up to play, getting after Joe Cool nine times. That was a heck of a defense performance in terms of getting after the passer. You can't ask for more sacks and deflections and rushes and all this good stuff from a defense. But I think Tennessee, let me start over. Let me give the Cincinnati Bengals their credit. No one gave them a chance. I know I really didn't give them a chance, basically primarily on the offensive line play. The offensive line play to me was going to be an issue. It's always an issue for guys named Tom Brady, guys named Joe Burrow. You know, and he was somehow able to win the game and stay poised within the pocket, make the right throws when his team needed him to make it. And it was a fun game to watch, yet I was disappointed with the Titans in a sense because they had lost Derrick Henry early in the year. They found a way to sustain that momentum, get home field advantage if they had won that game. But unfortunately, that's the way the ball falls sometimes. It's any given Sunday, who's the healthiest? Did they win the war of attrition? And all these other different contributing factors. And unfortunately, the Bengals, they were the better team.
Yeah. Couple turnovers by Tannehill that kind of really killed the drives and their momentum at key points. Your thought on that interception?
Towards the end,
where he caught the ball, but the ball hit the ground. The Titans so when I watched that after a couple replays, I was looking at it, and I was like, they can't overturn that because the ball. The rules specifically state the ball can touch the ground as long as you have firm control and the ball does not jostle when it hits the ground, right? That's exactly what happened. So rules-wise, I think that was dead on. Now, if it would have been called an incomplete incompletion, I think there wasn't enough there to overturn that either. So what are your thoughts on that specific rule and that play itself?
Yeah, the rule is a little vague, but I'm glad the refs got it right. I feel like the refs got it right because they saw it was a bang-bang play. Mm-hmm. His hands were on the ball as the nose of the ball hit the ground. And there was, like you said, there was no movement. There was a secure catch. Immediately, when his hands wrapped around the ball, he was able to pick it up, secure it. But I think the rule, they'll probably go back and look at this a little bit more and give a little bit more detailed of what is actually a catch or an interception. So I do think they got it right this time. However, I was skeptical because we know if the rule reads a certain way, then the refs have to interpret it. The interpretation gets lost in the shuffle. So what we may interpret as being a catch, I've been in those situations before it was, I caught a ball and the tip of the ball touched the ground and I didn't get the interception for it. So in my mind, I'm like, here we go again. And this is a big moment of the game where, it worked in the guy's favor, but I can't think of who intercepted that ball. I can't think of his name right now, but it was just a heck of a play. But I'm glad the refs got it right. I think they looked beyond what the definition of the interception would be. And I think everyone would agree it was an interception. I didn't see the ball move. I didn't see, a re-catch, anything like that. I thought it was a secure interception. It was a bang-bang play, and I think the refs got it right this time. But that is something that the competition committee, they're going to take a hard look at that because, if that was a receiver, would that have been a catch? And from what my eyes tell me, I don't think it would have been. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. So it has to go both ways, and I think that's something they're going to have to clear up heading into next season because I'm sure everyone's turning that tape in, and that's going to be on every teaching tape from the refs going into the training camp, in terms of what's an interception, what's not, and how to interpret the rules and potentially rule changes.
Yeah, definitely. Enough on the first game. Let's go into the second. Green Bay Niners. What? Yeah. Who had this game? Who had the Niners one? Right. These are two upsets in my book, big ones, Big. And it's not like the Niners offense did anything to win this game,
At all. If you would have told me a team scored zero touchdowns offensively and they won a game in Lambeau,
right?
There's no way against Aaron Rodgers, against the number one seed, there's no way I would take that bet. No way, no how. But their defense came to play. I think D'Amico Ryans and what he was able to sell to his defense, and we already knew what type of defense they had with Joey Bosa and Armstead and these guys that can get after the passer. We knew that going into it, but those guys played with confidence. They only held Aaron Rodgers to one offensive touchdown. And to me, quite frankly, the third phase of a football team won this game. Teams won this game. And, it was just a turn of events. You just never know how you're going to win. And Jimmy G has had this story, man. It's like, does he go out and actually win the game? He's just always on the winning side of things. And I don't know what to make of it. I really don't know what to make of it. But they ran the ball well. He made some throws when needed to. And Deebo Samuels, that guy in the return game, mm-hmm. you line him up as a running back. He obviously can beat you as a receiver. And this was the most important. This is when I realized how important he was and what he meant to this franchise. Third and seven. You put the ball in your best player's hands. They handed the ball off to Deebo Samuels on a third and seven when the game was on the line. And damn it, he ended up gaining like 10 yards. Mm-hmm. So to me, he's everything for this franchise. And to see the Packers go down the way they went down was heartbreaking. And, you know, so much was expected of this team and Aaron Rodgers and questions of whether or not he'll be back, or it was questions leading up before the season, whether or not he would be the starting quarterback. So there's a lot of questions surrounding that franchise. But this was a game, like you said, it was an upset that I enjoyed watching. I really did.
Well, I mean, another, you know, the block punt return for a touchdown, you know, that's mm-hmm. part of that whole special teams unit that you were talking about. It's just, it was, man, if San Francisco makes it to the Super Bowl and wins it, wow. What a road to get through that, because right. look at the teams that they're walking through, would have to walk through right. in order to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And they would have mm-hmm. been underdog, massive underdogs in every one of those games. So,
yes.
you know, talking about Jimmy G, you know, is it him that's winning the games, or he just, you know, part of a team? Let's put things into perspective a little bit. Okay, so Jimmy G's fine as a quarterback. I've always mm-hmm. said that. As a guy, as long as you don't have to throw the ball more than 15 yards, right. that, I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. Right? right. Look at it this way: Tim Tebow's 10-6 as a starter in the NFL. Right. Right? 10-6. He doesn't play football anymore. Right? He tried to do tight end work this mm-hmm. past offseason. Mm-hmm. Now Jimmy G's a better quarterback overall, I think. Than what Tim Tebow was, but I'm just saying, you could have a winning record and not be a starting franchise quarterback, in my opinion. And right. to me, I think Jimmy's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's a starting franchise guy. I think he's one of those yeah. really good game managing backups, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a step above like being a bridge quarterback, mm-hmm. in my opinion. He's a guy that you can always pluck in. He'll know where to go with the football. You just can't depend on him throughout a season, whether it be his health or, you know, him actually materializing to this great potential we all thought he would materialize to. So I just hadn't seen it, you know, for whatever reasons. But this game, man, I go back to the Colts, man, how they lost and the way they lost. And you watch these games this past weekend, and the one thing that I identified with was the guys that were the stars, the Pro Bowl players, they all showed up. They all showed up, or someone else, because the number one threat was taken away, another guy stepped up. So to me, George Kittle's had a great game. Obviously, Deebo Samuels. You know, we talk about the Titans. All these guys showed up. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase showed up. Joe Burrow showed up. The guys that we depend on watching, you know, in the postseason would show up, and that's something that the Colts didn't do to end their season, to get them into the postseason. And that's why they're watching a game like us. And I couldn't help but think about that.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of similarities. I was just looking at stuff like that interception that happened, I think, in the Cardinals game. Right. And you're like, yeah, there are a lot of similarities there. let's go to yesterday's games and the first one of the night. Wow. Bucks, Rams. And at halftime, I think the entire world thought that game was over.
Yeah, thought it was a wrap. We all thought it was a wrap. It was like the first time Tom Brady will get blown out on the biggest stage where your legacy is cemented. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, you cannot count this guy out. You cannot count. And again, you know, it was a little, this wasn't a, I was a little skeptical about this game because of they had lost their right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, mm-hmm. you know, and you had a new guy, you know, you're facing one of the most dominant defensive lines in the game and Aaron Donald. And now the new addition of Von Miller. And then you have the long-legged Leonard Floyd. Yes. on the other side. So
yeah,
that alone, they put pressure on Tom Brady all day long. Yes, and it was almost like, here we go again. This is a formula. You know, you can't fool him from a secondary standpoint, but if you can win the battle up front and get after the passer and make his lip bleed, you know, rattle him, you know, I think you have a shot. And this was a game where I thought it was evenly matched throughout most of the game when the Bucs decided to, they got some momentum throwing the football, and the offense, you know, obviously has some momentum, but the turnovers, the timely turnovers, the mm-hmm. takeaways they were able to pull up was legendary. But I go back to the difference of this game was mentally, I think the Bucs just, they had mental errors when they didn't need them, and it cost them. And particularly the game, the play of your season, Cooper Kupp gets catches the ball for the 44-yard gain. I mean, just a beautiful thrown ball by Matt Stafford, but it was a blown coverage from the Bucs standpoint. And these guys are too good of a defense on paper. Now, again, they weren't the same defense as they were the year before when they won the Super Bowl, but these guys are veteran guys. They've all won. You brought back 22 starters, yet they lost a game of attrition. You know, they just weren't healthy down the stretch. You know, Chris Godwin was a huge part of this football team. He was injured. You know, you get Leonard Fournette back. He makes his mark in the game. So it was a lot of different things that Tom Brady had to overcome. But in the end, I thought the defense let them down. And to give up a play, the play of your season, in the fashion the way they did was just it's alarming. And it's just I would hate to be in that locker room on that defensive side to lose the way that they lost that game.
I couldn't help but thinking at halftime, what would Tom Brady be thinking right now? And I think that he would be thinking, going back to two different Super Bowls that he is part of. The first one he would be thinking of when he played Kansas City, and at halftime he'd have been like, so this is what Patrick Mahomes felt like.
right.
But then his experience would kick in, and he'd go, now I've been in a situation like this against the Atlanta Falcons in a Super Bowl, right? Right. And I've come back, and he almost pulled that off.
He should have. It's just Brady did everything. The quarterback play this past weekend, aside from Jimmy Garoppolo, the teams that won, it was a masterclass of how to play the quarterback position. You know, just from Matthew Stafford making throws to obviously we're going to get to the game where they really displayed eliteness of the quarterback position. But this game to me was, you know, Mike Evans did again, the star showed up. Mike Evans showed up, Leonard Fournette showed up. Defensively, I think the Bucs just didn't have enough for whatever the reason. The back end struggled. They struggled. And Lavonte David, we talked about it before we started. And Lavonte David was on record leading up to that game talking about how important communication was, and they had some breakdowns in earlier weeks. And if he's talking about it, then you better believe that discussion was in their heads. And unfortunately, that's what lost them the game. And he was spot on. And unfortunately, he was the guy that didn't rush. You know, if you go back and look at that play, Ndamukong Suh takes an inside release on the guard, so he's allowing for the linebacker to occupy that space, because if he comes now, the O-line doesn't have one. You have a free runner in that case, and he didn't come, and Matthew Stafford identified it. He lobbed that ball up as best he can as he was getting hit by Ndamukong Suh. So it's one of those plays that you go back and they're going to watch the tape. It's like, man, we were so close. After a performance like Tom Brady and that offense, despite not being full strength, you know, it's unfortunate to see, you know, teams that deserve to win lose.
Yeah, true enough. I had the Rams as my favorite team in the NFC walking into this season. I've said that many, many times. And there was a few games this year that I was just like, what's going on here? Right. Matt Stafford is, you know, having troubles. But then again, Tom Brady had a game where he looked like awful. So it's games like this And you said it earlier. It's playoffs. It's that time where your dudes have to step up and play like dudes, right?
Right.
and you got to play like that at the most important times, not just, you know, in general, but those important, important points of games, like, you know, that final drive by the Rams that we were talking about.
Yeah, because they're paying you to be a difference maker in these moments. You know, that simple as that. It doesn't, despite what you do in the regular season, teams want to pay players to make plays at the biggest stage when it all counts. When it's one game or go home. And the guys that showed up, despite receivers being double covered, Cooper Kupp, everyone knew he was the guy. Hell, he led the league in touchdowns, receiving yards, receptions. So there's no secret who Matthew Stafford was going to go to in crunch time. And those two players made the plays when called upon. That's the difference between teams going to the AFC Championship game and teams watching, teams sitting at home.
Absolutely. You remember week six this past offseason and last year, there was chanting around all the NFL fans and stuff going, OBJ is washed. I'm sorry to say, all he did was wash his clothes, go over to the Rams, and become a difference maker again.
Right. Did you see the catch on the sideline? He caught it, double caught it, and was able to have enough balance and enough awareness to keep both feet in bounds and make the catch. He did it effortless.
Yeah.
It was like it was routine for him.
Man. I'm impressed. Losing Robert Woods is one thing, but because of that, you were able to go out and get, Odell Beckham.
And I feel like we haven't seen the best of Odell Beckham.
No.
I feel like Sean McVay will figure out a way to get him more touches. If you watch the 49ers game, the way they use Deebo Samuels, you get those guys touches. You look at the Kansas City game, you give those guys touches like Tyreek Hill. Regardless of how the game is going, their touches will equate to profit on the football field.
Exactly.
And it's just it was great to see those big moments happen. And, I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. It's been a long time coming. I remember the first time I made the playoffs with the Colts after eight seasons. I mean, it was like a new league. It was like something you never experienced when you thought you experienced everything that the NFL had to offer. So I'm happy for him. But yet, this is going to be an interesting matchup against them going into the AFC or NFC Championship game with the 49ers. But Odell Beckham, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, they have the weapons. They have the offensive mind, offensive schematic scheme. This is going to be it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Let's get into the final game of the weekend and what a barn burner that was. Holy cow. At halftime, you were looking at it going, it's 10-13, 10-13 at halftime, Chiefs Bills. And you're like, man, these defenses are doing a really good job on these quarterbacks. Mahomes is running for his life left and right. And Josh Allen just doesn't look like he's got it right now. Looks like, some things are not working out properly. And then the second half hit, namely the final 6 minutes of the game. And it's like, all right, it's time for we're done with this. Done playing. It's time to put points on the board.
Yeah. It seems like both teams woke up. They got their smelling salt and woke up and realized they were in a dogfight, and that someone had to be the one to, put up points and whatever they needed. I feel like these two teams, I've never watched an NFL game or been a part of an NFL game to say, you know what, both offenses, both teams deserve to win. Both teams deserve to win. I don't know if we're ever going to see a matchup and a masterclass of quarterback play that was displayed with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. It was almost as if to start the game and as the game kind of unfolded, second half turns around, they made an assertive effort to use the legs use their arm strength. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful game by both quarterbacks. And not to mention, we talk about the stars that showed up. Well, Stephon Diggs is a bona fide star for the Buffalo Bills, yet he was under control. Obviously, they were doubling him. Turning their coverage to him. But what's the guy's name? Gabriel Davis.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns and over 200 yards receiving, something that Jerry Rice hadn't done with four touchdowns in the playoffs. So
NFL playoff record.
Yeah, NFL playoff record. So there was a lot of historic moments in this game. And unfortunately, again, when Tyrann Mathieu left the game, that changed what Kansas City did from a secondary standpoint. The communication was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it really showed how much he's valued and how much they need that guy on the field, because the secondary, when you saw, and again, listen, both of these teams were very, very qualified to go to the AFC Championship game. And Buffalo, the number one defense in the league, Patrick Mahomes carved them up like they were a JV team when crunch time was called upon, and when he was called upon to win games or what have you and make the throws down the field and lean on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all these guys. So their star showed up at the biggest moment. And it was almost as if, as they were, you know, exchanging blow for blow, Patrick Mahomes, I remember the camera panning to him. He was calm, cool, and collective. You know, even towards the end of that game.
Smirking a little bit.
It was almost as if it was like, no, young man. This is my house. This is my league. And I'm going to put you in your place. You're close, but I'm on a different stratosphere. You know, it was great to see both of those. It was great to see Josh Allen on the sideline, you know, into it emotionally. It got, you know, I get chilled, you know, goosebumps thinking about it. You know, I would love for a quarterback to show that type of emotion in the big game. It just elevates your team. And both of these quarterbacks elevated their team like I've never seen before. And it was a beauty to watch. And I feel bad for whoever didn't stay up to watch that game, because that was one to remember.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the final two, there was, what, 28 points scored in the last 2.5 minutes of that game. Total.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It was just bam, bam, quick pass, touchdown, two passes, touchdown, mm-hmm, two passes, mm-hmm, touchdown. You know, it was just ridiculous how, and it was just boom, boom, boom. It was exciting. Yeah, you could have just turned on the fourth quarter and been like, all right, here's a game.
Yeah. and I've never, that's one stadium I was injured on IR that I hadn't played in, was Kansas City. And I hear Kansas City's fans, the stadium is one of the loudest in the NFL. And you could feel the energy from the television screen, just how loud they were. I remember it was second down. And Kansas City was on defense, and it felt like it was the play to win the game. So I can only imagine how much energy was in that building and how much effort was given from these players. Because I know they have to be mentally drained, you know, to have this type of performance and to go into overtime. And this was my favorite game by far. And I don't know if the NFL can duplicate any games like this moving forward.
Oh, no, man. You couldn't ask for more in a Super Bowl, let alone any other game. But, you know, I'm looking at this game, and there was one take that I came away with after watching that game last night. And my thought was, we have not had one of those rivalries since the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady era. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it looks like the passing of the torch is happening. And could you see Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes being that you know, whole situation through the 2020s coming up?
And we witnessed the first heavyweight bout last night. That was the first of many. And people are going to remember this one forever. Now they're tied together. If Patrick Mahomes goes on and wins a Super Bowl, he's going to have a tough task going through Buffalo. And Buffalo is right there. And both of these teams are exciting to watch. Buffalo has a really great defense. Kansas City has to get better on that back end. So these two teams are going to be tied together for the next 10 plus years. Whether who comes out on top, right now it's Patrick Mahomes. But you better believe the energy that I witnessed from Josh Allen last night on the sideline, and just it means something to him. So he's going to remember this loss. He's never going to forget this loss. And he's going to have this moment again and again. But I do see the similarities between, you know, back in the day when you had Tom Brady and Peyton Manning playing, everyone, including their mothers, was watching this game. Even if you weren't a football fan, you had to watch and see greatness performed on both sides of the ball, or either team. So this is one of those cases where they're both box office talents. They're going to put up big numbers. They're exciting to watch. They both are able to use their arm in ways that are just, you can't coach. And they also have the athleticism to extend downs, and they actually call, you know, quarterback sweeps with Josh Allen. He's just a tough old school guy. And you've mentioned this before. He gives you that Big Ben or Andrew Luck statue, the way he's hard to bring down, but he's tough as nails. So this is definitely going to be a matchup that everyone's going to look forward to, whether it's regular season or postseason. And right now, Patrick Mahomes has the edge.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, we were seeing things from both these quarterbacks that we would see from the other quarterback, you know, where like Josh Allen, obviously he's a big, you know, when he takes off with the football, it's a scary situation because he's a big dude. He can run, he's athletic. And Patrick Mahomes generally don't do that. But man, he was doing that in the first half where he'd take off and just go and get positive yards. And I'm just like, wow, that looked like, you know, Josh Allen running the football rather than Patrick Mahomes. And then there was a pass earlier, later on in the game by Josh Allen, where he just kind of sidearm slung it underneath the arms of another defender for, you know, a nice big old long game. Yeah. And I'm like, that's Patrick Mahomes-ish, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it looks like it almost – looks like identical quarterbacks out there, you know, at times, just at that you know, 99 level on Madden, you know.
It was definitely the greatest display playing the quarterback position I've seen all year. And from two guys, given the stage, given the what was riding on it, I mean, Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes just showed a level of just confidence that we are not going to be denied our trip to the Super Bowl. And before that, the AFC Championship game. And you saw a hungry young team like the Buffalo Bills. And we know their history with Jim Kelly reaching the Super Bowl three or four times and never winning it. So they have all of that behind them that they're going to carry with them going into next season. But this is the first time I realized, I knew Josh Allen was good, but he took his greatness to another level. And I don't know any quarterback that can play as well as you, as well as he did, and not win a football game. But that's how great Patrick Mahomes is. You could play your best game of your career, best game of the season, and still lose. And with 13 seconds to go in the football game.
Right.
When I saw that, I'm thinking they pan to the sideline. You see Buffalo Bills. They're all hugging it out. They think they have this game won. And for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to go down the field and tie the ball game with 13 seconds left, that was great planning. They were ready for the moment from Kansas City Chiefs standpoint. But Leslie Frazier, who's been getting a lot of praise this year, I have to scratch my head on this.
Yeah.
Because I know on Saturday, when I played the game on Saturdays, you go through all these different scenarios. And based on the talent pool that Kansas City has, you can't afford to leave a guy that's the fastest guy in the league uncovered for 15, 20 yards and expect to tackle him in open field.
Right.
You miss out on that. And then you back it up with letting Travis Kelce, you're protecting the side, letting Travis Kelce just run freely up the field. That is football. That is the biggest football 101 no-no in the history of football. And again, the number one defense, you can't stop a team in 13 seconds. When we saw, you know, I hate to bring them up, the Dallas Cowboys debacle with 14 seconds left. They can't even get a playoff, let alone Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid go down and somehow tie the football game up on the biggest stage of the season to ultimately win in overtime. It was just unbelievable to see. I didn't know that was possible. In my mind, I'm like, it's over. Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes is able to make the impossible routine, and he constantly does it week in and week out and year in and year out. So this is going to be exciting to see how this unfolds with him and the confidence they're going into this AFC Championship game with, because I don't see anyone penetrating how they was able to win last week to stifle them into their road to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, we covered this divisional weekend for the playoffs, and now I think it's time to kind of ease on over. This is Believe in Colts, not Believe in the Playoffs. I wish it was one and the same, but unfortunately that didn't happen this year. I dropped, obviously, I asked if anyone had any questions for this episode, and we got two questions that I think are kind of similar. I'm going to ask the first one. The one Patreon of mine, Brandon Wood, asks, after watching this weekend's game, all the games, all four of them, what are some key takeaways, in your opinion, that Ballard needs to really think about and keep in the back of his mind this upcoming offseason?
Yeah, he doesn't need to keep this in the back of his mind, but he has to go out and find another number two receiver. He has to find more weapons for whoever it is that's going to be the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. There's a guy by the name of Chris Godwin over in Tampa. He could potentially be on the market, but you have to go out and get more dynamic playmakers offensively to help this running game and help Carson Wentz. Watching this past weekend, we talked about it. What stood out were playmakers, the guys that you depend on. There's enough on our defense. We have enough. We can fine tune some things. You can always add to that. I think Kwity Paye is going to surprise us all going into next year. But offensively, with T.Y. Hilton contemplating retirement, Jack Doyle contemplating retirement, you know, you have Pittman Jr., who solidified himself as a number one. He needs more help on the outside. And if you can do that, I think this team exponentially gets better. And you look around the league, you look at Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuels. If you can find a guy in the draft that's dynamic, that's positionless, he can return. He can play in the backfield. He can receive it. You need a dynamic playmaker. And it keeps showing up week in and week out that they don't have that.
I don't know. I think the Colts have that in Nyheim Hines. They're just not using him. You know, I really do believe that Hines is that player that can play in multiple different assets of the game. It's just he's not getting snaps.
This offense isn't necessarily suited for that.
Yeah.
You know, because of how well the run game was so efficient this past year. So it limits what you do offensively to a certain degree, passing the ball at least, because I agree with you. He's a mismatch on any running or any linebacker that is covering him. Mm-hmm. He has that agility. He has that. And I'm sure, you know, they're going to have to go to the drawing board and figure out what identity, who are they going to be going into next season? And unfortunately, it's going to be the run. You're going to lean on the run. You're going to lean on the run game. So, you know, whether they do a deep – they have to do a deep self-scout and to figure out what offense works best for Carson Wentz if he's going to be the guy next year, which I'm pretty confident he will be. You have to be able to use your assets. You have to be able to use them because, you know, he's definitely a mismatch. And now you can focus on Taylor just being a guy that runs in between the tackles. But he also can make plays out of the backfield, catching the football and in space. So it's a good problem to have, but I do think the way the game is played now, today, you have to score points. Not to say that the Colts had any issues scoring points, but you need difference makers. You need solidified, bona fide stars that can go out and make plays for you. Simple as that. And go ahead. You got it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to bring up the fact that, you know, the star situation going to teams that are in the middle of a rebuild that probably won't be picking up certain guys. Or may not. My eyes have been on Allen Robinson. right? As that other receiver. The dude is absolutely fantastic, and the Bears are cleaning house right now. So I doubt that they're gonna bring Robinson back. And if they don't, he's gonna be on the free market. Now, will he be more than what the Colts can afford? That's possible. Right. Most likely, but he's still a guy that I look at and go, wow, him opposite Michael Pittman Jr. would be absolutely fantastic on this Colts offense.
Yeah, and you have to also ask yourself, okay, if you're a pass catcher in this league, do you want to go to a team where the quarterback situation is in question? You know, that plays a role into it. You know, I know Carson Wentz is signed for next season, but it's going to be a similar situation that Green Bay is going to have to deal with Aaron Rodgers and their number one target. So I think it all goes hand in hand. However, Indy is a more complete football team. I don't know, most free agents, in my opinion, would want to go to a place like that who has the ability, has the talent. They just have to figure out certain positions and help them and help the team in certain positions. So it's going to be a fascinating offseason. But I do think, now that Aaron Rodgers, now that teams we're getting closer to the Super Bowl, more coaches are available, more players are available, and now you're able to self-scout and see, okay, who could potentially be free agents as a player. I think you have to look at every position on this football team to upgrade. Carson Wentz is here, but there's a lot of things that can happen. The way the Browns were able to maneuver picks years ago, now they're, obviously they had a disappointing season, but anything can happen. And I think Ballard is a guy to make a bold move to help this football team. Because one thing that in the league that is a big misconception is time. We all assume when you're playing, you have all this time in the world to get it right. But I could tell you the comments that I read from Mr. Irsay after, him making comments about this team needing more warriors, that's an indictment on the people you put in place to bring the talent in. So there's going to be a lot of pressure going into this season to get it right and to convince the Irsays that whatever move they make is the move for the foreseeable future.
All right, so I got another question. This one off of Twitter. This person's name is just D, as in Doug, but just D. It's a two-part question. He says, first part is, after seeing the current talent left in the playoffs that's playing right now, is it fair to say that you either need an elite defense and a little luck or an elite quarterback and the ball last? And is it safe to say, do you think the Colts are further behind than we thought on the current build?
I mean, this past weekend, that was exceptional. You're getting the cream of the crop in quarterback play. So I don't want to – obviously, that's ideal. Everyone would love a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but in all fairness, it's hard to find guys like that. They're in a space of their own. So, yeah, it makes you think, do we have the guy under center that is capable of making throws and impacting the game like these two guys made? That's fair. However, the other part of the question was, what was the other part of that question about?
Are we further behind on the
build? Are we further behind? No, I don't think so. Look at how we finished. I mean, obviously, we didn't finish how we wanted to, but we would have had a chance to get in the playoffs. And we've witnessed, visiting teams go into 49ers that were the fourth ranked team, go into Lambeau and beat the number one team in the NFC. We also saw it on the other side in the AFC.
Right.
We saw the Bengals that no one really gave them much hope in this game because of their awful, god-awful O-line play, not have a chance to beat the Titans, who were the number one seed in the AFC. So anything can happen once you get to the play. I think this team definitely has a playoff caliber roster. They just have to find a way to stay healthy, find a way to win early, and not put themselves in such a deep hole because you expend so much energy and effort mentally and physically. So when it comes time to beat a 2-14 team to get into the playoffs, you don't have a massive letdown like we witnessed this past year with the Colts. So I do think we're not far behind. Teams get hot at the right time, And I thought these two teams, you know, you look at the teams that played this past weekend, this is the epitome of the National Football League. Doesn't matter how you're ranked. As long as you can get there in the postseason and you get hot at the right time and you don't have these mental breakdowns and on the defense, you know, you have a chance to win any game that you're a part of.
Absolutely. I think so too. I don't think the Colts are that far behind right now in their current build. I think that they have talent. They have tons of talent. It's just, I think there's what they're lacking, in my opinion, is some the proper leadership at their mm-hmm. position coaching spots. That's my issue. Like, I'm looking at the defensive line play, right? I'm looking at the defensive line coach going, hey, you were supposed to develop these guys, right? They got to get better throughout. You know, that's who I'm putting the question mark in when it comes to the quarterback play. Hey, you know, Milanovic, you were supposed to be able to bring up Carson Wentz and get him to that point where he understands how to run this concept that Frank Reich is running. And, you know, there's still problems there. So that's where I'm putting most of my blame right now. Now, obviously, they can't make the plays on the field. So the players definitely have to take a lot of that blame. Yeah. But position coaches, in my opinion, are partially responsible for the outcome that comes out at the end of each and every game.
Yeah, any coach I've ever worked with that I thought was really good has been great at developing talent, has been good at teaching the scheme and giving guys information in terms of what is expected of you. And I think that's what you're saying in a nutshell. It's like we need more coaches who are developers, who are developing these guys.
Absolutely.
And because it all plays a hand. Everyone has a hand in this. Coaching. How many times did we hear Frank Reich say, we got out coach? And I know he was deflected and taking all the blame for himself because that's what great leaders do. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to hear that next year. We want to hear, you know what? They made a play and we didn't. We didn't get out coach. We played exceptionally hard. But you know what? The guy across from us is just better than us at that moment. I want to hear losses, not losses, but I want to hear that type of information coming out of that building.
If we lose, when we lose.
Right. So this is going to be, in my opinion, if Frank Reich and Chris Ballard does not get this corrected, there's a great chance, and I'm foreshadowing something that I don't want to happen, but I see this team being blown up like a lot of other teams we've watched this past season. So they need to get it right. They're going to have to get it right because you don't want to waste this championship roster. You cannot wait because guys are getting older. You're going to have to start deciding who can you fit on your salary cap and who's expendable. So that always plays a part. Rarely do we see teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers return 22 starters. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so this team is going to look different. Obviously, we're going to have the key components of this team stay in place, but you also got to find a way. You got to find guys who are warriors, as Mr. Irsay says, and that are willing to not let a 2-14 team creep up and beat you and knock you out of the playoff aspirations.
There's a lot that I want to talk about still, but we're coming near to the end of how much I'm going to have on this. So I just want to put a little bit of, let people listening and watching know the next episode. I would like to discuss a little bit about the coaches, a little bit about guys out there that are getting ready to, you know, they're getting interviews. Matt Eberflus, you know, your Morocco Browns, your Dodds. Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss these guys in depth, give our opinions for each one of them on the next episode of Believe in Colts. Any final words before we exit out here?
Only, you know what, I'm not missing a second of this weekend's championship games, because if they're anything remotely like what we just watched this past weekend, that's definitely a treat for all of our eyes to be a part of. So I'm looking forward to this weekend's championship game.
Absolutely. Myself as well. And I think that will do it for myself and DeQuell Jackson. This was Believe in Colts brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, until next time, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.